Hello everybody, today we are going to talk about the Five Nights at Freddy's VHS tapes. Recently, I don't know how recently since I'm recording both of them back to back, but recently I should have put up a video that goes through the timeline and story of the Five Nights at Freddy's video games. And if you're like me, the more interesting aspects of those video games are the nuanced details about the murders themselves and the killer, William Afton. It's an interesting branch of horror that doesn't get explored a lot, especially not in video games. And while the concept of a murder, mystery, haunting, poltergeist, animatronic thing may seem common by today's standards, that's because of the effect the original Five Nights at Freddy's had. However, if you agree with that, then you also probably feel that the games didn't do that concept justice. And if that's the case, then I am more than happy to introduce you to the VHS tapes. See, what I like about the Five Nights at Freddy's series is even though there are these connecting lines that tie in a greater story to the plot being told, there's also enough wiggle room for you to let your imagination run with what exactly happened to these children or how gruesome the events were. And that sweet spot is right where the VHS tapes are located. The majority of the VHS tapes that you're going to find on YouTube focus on the actual terror of the individual and why these concepts are scary from a horror movie standpoint. That may not make a lot of sense now, but I guarantee you it will by the time we're done with this video. I primarily want to talk about the VHS tapes from Squimpus McGrimpus. Yes, that is the name of the YouTube channel, and yes, it is hilarious. Squimpus has constructed a world that uses the Five Nights at Freddy's world as a starting point, but then begins to build its own narrative. As a matter of fact, several of the scares and concepts mentioned in Squimpus's series are so known throughout the fan base that I'm sure there's plenty of people who think the thing from his VHS tapes are part of the mainline story. And that's not a joke. I've seen the audio clips from Squimpus's series get used on, say, TikTok, and people in the comments will say, oh yeah, that's from this game in the Five Nights at Freddy's series. And that's because Squimpus, I'm going to continue to say that name as much as possible, as a fan of the original series, knows what kind of content resonates with the people who found it interesting. And on top of that, I'm going to link a massive playlist of FNAF VHS creators in the description, because this is really an entire corner of YouTube that has a lot of potential, but I feel is often overlooked. So if that sounds interesting, stick around after the ad as we're going to get into the horrors of the FNAF VHS tapes. But before we get into all of that, I want to talk about something serious. Like hair. And more specifically, you being serious about your hair. And you can start getting serious with today's sponsor, Keeps. Fellas, we need to be honest with ourselves. 2 out of every 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35 years old. And I, for one, do not want that to happen. If it wasn't for this hair, I would be a nobody. If I ever started to go bald, Google would show up and take these plaques off the wall. It's in the contract. But thanks to Keeps, I don't have to worry about that. Because with Keeps, a licensed doctor reviews your information online, and then after finding a treatment that's right for you, Keeps subscription service sends it to your house every 3 months. And you can message that same doctor at any time with any questions you have about the treatment, all from the comfort of your home. I completely understand why you may not want to go to a doctor's office and then explain to someone that you barely know why you think you're going bald. But thanks to Keeps, you're able to get the treatment you need without any of the hassle. With more 5-star reviews than any of their competitors and hundreds of thousands of customers, it's a good idea to trust your hair to the brand that keeps it safe. See what I did there? So if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to the link in the description at keeps.com/Wendigoon to get your first order for 50% off. That's right, just head to the link in the description at keeps.com/Wendigoon to get your first order for half off. Now's the best time to get in on a fantastic deal. Thank you all so much for watching the ad. Thank you so much to Keeps for sponsoring the video. It really does mean the most. I hope you all check them out. Link in the description, and we are back to the video. We are going to go ahead and get into it, but as always, thank you for watching. Again, Squimpus's VHS series starts off with the understanding of the Five Nights universe, but then tells its own narrative. So whenever I say things like the puppet or William Afton referring to the killer, I'll briefly describe it here, but if you want to fully understand what that means, I did a big video that will be around here somewhere before this that goes into the whole story of the Five Nights series. And if you don't care that much about it, just be confused, I guess. I'm sorry. The first video is the Fazbear Entertainment Video Manual. This seems to be an instructional guide for the workers at Fazbear Entertainment on how to clean the animatronics. It starts out normally telling them to disassemble the head and arms of the animatronic until it gets to the torso. At which point we see a censored image of Freddy's chest with small blood splatters around the censored box. Before the voice directing us tells us to climb inside and accept our fate before the image cuts. If you were to go straight from the Five Nights at Freddy's video games into this VHS series, this is the first time you would actually see a mention of a child being inside of the animatronics. Like I mentioned earlier, this is a concept from the games that is terrifying, and now someone is actually putting it to flesh. No pun intended. In the next video, Bonnie Joint Movement Testing, we open with a movement demo of Bonnie the animatronic. We then get your standard fare cut to face, horror jump scream, yada yada, before we see the puppet screaming above a gift wrapped box. And out of the box jumps Freddy, ending the video. Again, if you're familiar with the mainline series, then you know that the puppet is the one responsible for attaching the souls of these dead children to the animatronics, causing the possession in the first place. These first four tapes are kind of just setting that up and showing the different characters before the story begins to tell its own narrative. In the third video, Sound Response Check, we are told that sounds will play as we watch Chica respond to the audio she's hearing. Until the text glitches out, in other words, we don't know where Chica is supposed to be staring, to which she is then looking straight and music begins playing. We then hear dialogue from Chica, in which she says that this music makes her feel better. She then gives a rather haunting account of how one time she saw a bird asleep in the snow, and that's what nightmares are about. You can't breathe in the snow, and right here where Chica is now, she can't breathe. We then see the image of a sad girl before it cuts to a censored image of what is probably a bird asleep in the snow. The reason I enjoy this specific VHS series is not only for some of the character building we're going to get in the later episodes, but because in the main Five Nights at Freddy's video games, the concept of murdered children being forced to possess a metal animatronic suit is kind of just brushed over. And it's easy to forget that that is an absolutely horrific concept that's being mentioned by the games. And other than brief mentions from characters like Elizabeth, we don't really know how they feel about their circumstance. Whereas here in this VHS series, most of the horror comes from the concept of a child being trapped inside of this metal cage. Or as Chica says here, she can't breathe and it feels like she's in a nightmare. In our fourth tape, Pirate Cove Pre-Show, we're given an introduction to Foxy's show from Foxy the Pirate. This exposition repeats itself, and each time it does, it becomes more distorted and more children disappear. We then see the purple guy appear as he taunts Foxy and asks, "Didn't he want an audience?" Before the faces of the other animatronics flash, before we cut back to Foxy and then see Golden Freddy, also known as Fredbear, hanging in the air on what appears to be a purple tether. This is the first time that we've seen mention of the purple guy, however he is going to continue to be the main antagonist throughout this story. And now that the pieces are set, the four tapes of each of the animatronics, also known as the four souls possessing the animatronics, we can now start with the narrative itself. In the next video, titled Non-Existent Video, we see a commercial for Fredbear's Family Diner. We see both of the original golden animatronics, Fredbear and Spring Bonnie, as we're being told of how the spring lock suits work. We then see the Fredbear animatronic with blood covering its mouth. This is in reference to something known as the Bite of 83, in which the first victim of the entire series was killed when his brother Michael shoved him into the mouth of the Fredbear animatronic. We then see a message that's being delivered directly to us, telling us that we recovered the four tapes in the empty heads of the animatronics. In other words, the four previous videos in the series. Before being told that now we have found the fifth tape. The fifth tape being that of Fredbear, potentially the soul of Michael's brother who was killed inside of the Fredbear animatronic. The messages then begin to tell us that before our brother died, something else happened at that restaurant. This means that we are most likely Michael Afton viewing this video. meaning that our father is William Afton, the killer of the Five Nights at Freddy's series. We then see a video of a spring lock incident. In other words, an incident in which someone is wearing a spring lock suit and the animatronic components shoot back into place, killing the user. We are then told that that happened to our father as well, confirming the suspicion that we are Michael Afton and our father is the killer, William Afton, now dead, possessing the spring lock rabbit suit. The message then says, "I'll show you," as the puppet's face fades into view. If you'll remember, the puppet was the very first victim of William Afton, meaning that all of these tapes are an attempt by Charlie, also known as the puppet, who was the first victim of William Afton, now trying to convince us, Michael Afton, the son of William, to kill our father. This is confirmed as the puppet shows us Fazbear Frights and tells us that our father is still alive and controlling the springtrap suit. We're then directly called Michael and told that our brother will forgive us for what we have done. If you'll remember, Michael is responsible for the death of his youngest brother at the hands of the Fredbear animatronic, meaning that now Charlie, controlling the puppet, is in the same plane of existence as Michael's younger brother, controlling the Fredbear animatronic, and they are trying to convince Michael to kill his father so that their souls can rest and pass on to the other side. In the next video, Night Security Training Video, we see an instructional guide of how to operate the cameras and doors in the night security position. However, when we reach the part telling us how to operate the lights outside of the doors, we see a brief flash of Springtrap, aka William Afton, standing outside. We then see purple letters that say, "I am here, I'm in the back room, please help, I just want to see my son." Again, if you're familiar with the series, then you'll know that William Afton has been walled off, sealed away in the back room of Freddy Fazbear's Pizza for the past 30 years. So while the souls of the dead children are trying to convince Michael to kill his father, Michael's father William is trying to convince him to let him out. Through these VHS tapes, we see a battle between these two entities in order to win over Michael. The next video, facial recognition testing, shows the animatronic Toy Bonnie. Toy Bonnie is equipped with a facial recognition system that is made to alert anyone nearby if someone is spotted whose face appears on a criminal database. To demonstrate this, we are shown several instances of Bonnie responding to a normal face and a criminal's face. Before one face is shown that confuses the person administering the test, before Bonnie leaps forward in an attempt to attack the worker. The worker manages to stop Bonnie, but is very upset and exclaims, "I know he can't come back here, but you can't put that face in there without telling me." It seems that one face in particular triggered a violent response in the animatronic. We are then shown a picture of William Afton as the word "criminal" is repeated over and over. Criminal, criminal, criminal. Before he transforms into the visage of the purple guy. The reason the animatronic attacked the person administering the test is because the face that was shown was the face of the animatronic's killer. Or, if you wanted to be more technical, the killer of one of the other animatronics that made the facial recognition software freak out, but potato, potato, same thing. The next video, titled Security Footage, is possibly my favorite in the entire series. It's simply a conversation in the dining hall of Freddy Fazbear's Pizza between the Bonnie and Chica animatronics. In it, we learn that the name of the child who is possessing Bonnie is Lucas, and Chica, as we'll find out later, was the younger sister of Lucas. Throughout the conversation, we see Lucas depressed and sad as he begins crying given his situation. Chica, very heartbreakingly, tells Lucas that it's okay and one day they'll go to heaven because they're supposed to. To which Lucas replies, "I'm so glad you don't know what's really happening," before the conversation ends and the two part ways. It's such a simple video, but it's one of the more impactful things I've seen out of the Five Nights at Freddy's series. This isn't just talking about the scary aspect of, oh, young children stuck inside of animatronics, isn't that weird? But it's also humanizing them. And in this incredibly sad instance, we see a young girl tell her older brother that it'll be okay because they're supposed to go to heaven. At this point, they would have been in the animatronics for about a decade. That is, if we're going off the original timeline. And I know this is its own series, but close enough. And to see, like, real visceral, depressing horror like that is something I would expect out of a series with this concept. In our next video, Company PSA, we see a video directed towards members of Fazbear Entertainment. They refer to the Springlock accident at the previous locations, i.e. the animatronic suits failing and killing the person inside, before stating that all of the Springlocks have been removed and now animatronics and costumes will be kept separately. The tape tells the worker that if ever asked about the Fredbear or Spring Bonnie suits, just say that they simply do not exist. The camera then cuts to Fredbear talking. At this point, it's confirmed to us that the spirit inside of Fredbear is Michael's younger brother. Michael's younger brother, talking to Michael, which is us viewing the tape, says, "I thought you loved me, you said you were sorry, but I know you're lying," before saying, "I don't love you, and I'll take you with me." This is very different from what Charlie the Puppet said earlier in the tapes, where Charlie said, "Your younger brother will forgive you for what you did." As we can see here, Michael's younger brother still doesn't forgive him for causing his death in 1983. In the next video animated cartoon, it starts out as a normal Freddy Fazbear cartoon. That is, until the tape begins to get glitched whenever they come to dinner and see that there are 6 chairs, but only 4 slices of pizza made. This again being a reference to the 2 Springlock animatronics who are now discontinued. In the cartoon, Chica is then lured away from the group before a door slams and we cut to the much more decrepit, monstrous version of the Chica animatronic. This most likely being a reference to how the young girl was lured away so many years ago. We then see an argument between Charlie and Michael's younger brother inside of the Golden Freddy suit. Michael's younger brother tells Charlie to stop trying to give the others hope and tell them that Michael will free them. Charlie concedes and admits that there is no hope and they're never getting out. During this time, we're given the names of the other victims within the animatronics, as Charlie says that she is sorry to Nicole, Lucas, Angie, and Benjamin. So despite William and Charlie each trying to leave messages for Michael in order to get him to help them, Michael's brother still doesn't forgive him for causing his death and has convinced the puppet to stop trying to convince him to help the others. In the next video, Memories, we begin with normal images of old Fazbear locations before we see an image of William Afton as we hear his hidden confession tape.
3 cases of 1 and 1 case of 2. All of them adding up to the 5 missing children of Freddy's. That was me. I'll elaborate on that later.
The voice acting for this is fantastic, by the way, and I'm almost tempted to just play the entire thing here, but the link will be in the description. You need to experience it for yourself. In the confession tape, William says that Michael murdered his youngest son, Joseph, meaning we now have a name to the spirit possessing the Fredbear animatronic. William had always hated Michael and became furious that Michael killed the one son he cared about. William wanted to kill Michael every day since, but knew that if he did, he would immediately be caught for the murder. So, William explains that he began murdering other children in order to get over his obsession with killing Michael. The tape ends as William addresses Michael directly and says that he checks the position of this confession tape every day. So if Michael's listening, he better make sure he puts it back just right. This is not only incredibly menacing, the entire motive and description and voice acting and all of that that William Afton give in this story, but also the way that he addresses Michael directly, implying that even if Michael figures out that his dad killed these kids, no one's going to believe him because his dad has made sure all of the ends are met. And it paints a horrifying picture of something I never really thought about in the series, and that's the position of Michael growing up, potentially knowing that his father had murdered all these people. And it not only enhances this story, but makes the original Five Nights games more effective, because imagine if the reason Michael was so determined to do this is because he knew for so long and didn't do anything about it, or if he had just lived in terror of his father growing up. It does what I think spin-off and supplemental material should do, and that's create an interesting story while also enhancing the original story as well. In the final video finale, we hear audio logs of William speaking to himself after being trapped within the Springlock suit. These continue throughout the years, from him begging Michael to get him out of the back room of the restaurant.
"Michael, don't leave me here! Michael! My God! Help me!"
until eventually in 2008 when William makes his escape, even remarking, "She'll make you visit me," referring to Charlie the Puppet, knowing that if Michael's out there somewhere, then the puppet will convince him to face off with his father. We're then treated to a scene in which the puppet tells Michael to keep that match lit, his father is close. And then, as soon as William steps into the room, Michael sets the building on fire. As everything burns, the screen fades to white, and we then see the obituaries of the lost children. But in doing so, he took his father with him and released the souls of the trapped children. And with that, we have the ending of the Squimpus McGrimpus Five Nights at Freddy's VHS tapes. Squimpus also has several non-canon MP4 tapes on the channel, which are creepy and cool, but don't really affect the story I just told. And I think that these are fantastic, and if you're going to tell an offshoot story to a series that is as established and well-known as the Five Nights at Freddy's, you might as well do it right. So like I said, the Five Nights at Freddy's VHS community is huge, so rather than just stopping there, I want to give a quick mention to a few of the other creators who I think deserve some attention as well. And while there are many who do this and do it very well, I'm picking a few of my favorites to show justice, one of which being Faceless Puppeteer. Faceless Puppeteer has a rather large VHS series that goes over the Five Nights at Freddy's lore, but one of my favorites is the Employee Tape, which gives some general advice to the workers who may work at a Fazbear's Entertainment location, such as, don't tell the children that the animatronics aren't real because it will ruin the magic. However, more interesting is the section where it mentions that if any child is lost, that you should escort them back to their parents, and not before the tape is censored, and we can assume it's saying, bring them into a back room, which if you'll remember, is the method William Afton used to get the children alone and kill them. Now, while that's cool, what is by far the most interesting part of the Faceless Puppeteer's work is his more unique takes on the lore itself. For example, there are two arcade games which are set within the Five Nights at Freddy's universe. One of which is of a very scared child walking through a house as he picks up coins and there are small mentions that something is wrong in his life, such as the fridge being empty and the mention of tear stains down his cheeks. From the best I can tell, this is potentially Michael or his younger brother, who in my main Five Nights at Freddy's video I referred to as Evan. My main reason for that being Evan is also referred to as the crying child in the main series. And making an arcade game about the childhood fears that he had growing up in the house with the serial killer is such a cool touch. There's also another game called the Fruity Maze Beta, which is based off the Fruity Maze minigame from Five Nights at Freddy's 6. In it, we see an early build of that maze game, and our protagonist Susie being led to find her dead dog. Which, not to get into all the weird lore stuff, but it seems that this is the way the spirit that would eventually possess Chica was led away by William Afton. However, what is by far the coolest part about Faceless Puppeteer, and the reason I wanted to mention him first after Squimpus McGrimpus, is the silent cartoon. Faceless Puppeteer has a silent cartoon in which the characters from the Fazbear locations go on the hunt for missing Chica. It's not just a unique and new way to tell the story inside of this universe, but it's also so fitting. These are children's animatronics. It makes sense that they would have their own show, especially one as low budget as a silent black and white cartoon. And in Faceless Puppeteer's most recent video, they go to a Fazbear amusement park, where characters from the silent cartoon are seen. I think that this has insane potential to do well, because not only are you introducing your own elements to the series, like the amusement park and the silent cartoon, but you're using them to build off of each other and then begin to tell your own story. And I think that's really cool, and I think it's fantastic. Him, as well as Squimpus and all the other creators I'm mentioning, will be linked in the description, but you really should check them out and keep track of whatever they've got coming next, because I'm excited for it. Another creator I wanted to talk about who is criminally underrated is Adam Simon. Adam Simon currently has 3 seasons of FNAF VHS tapes, with 1 pre-season playlist as well. In the pre-season, we see glimpses of what is most likely William Afton in his own personal hell. Something, again, that I mentioned in the main Five Nights at Freddy's series. Adam does a great job on playing with things that were briefly mentioned in the original games. Like, for example, at the end of Five Nights at Freddy's 4, there is a locked box that is shown at the end of a cutscene. And no matter how many times you click on the box or do whatever you want, the box cannot be opened, and there's a message displayed that says something to the effect of some things are best left forgotten or unseen or whatever it says. So we were literally shown a locked box and it was never opened. So in Adam's series, he says that perhaps that locked box was William Afton trapped in this kind of timeless hell. Not only does that make sense, but it satisfies a point from the original games that otherwise there's no explanation for. In season 2, Adam talks about finding 7 lost tapes, and along with your standard scares that also enhance the story, like for example, there is one portion where it's talking about Circus Baby, and it shows a brief flash of Elizabeth's face. It seems that Adam is building his own world, and I'm excited to see where he goes from here. Also, looking at a few other creators, there were a couple other creators who mentioned finding lost tapes as well. And while I may be crazy here, I feel that there may be an interconnected story happening between these different YouTube channels. And if so, that's really cool, because Adam mentioned finding tape 2, and then another YouTuber mentioned finding tape 6. And if this is some big web to put together, and I do it, I'll make a video on it, or if anyone out there wants to go for it, because if so, I think that's really cool. The final one I wanted to give direct attention is Meme Bear, and yes, that's the channel's real name. From what I can tell, there isn't a direct storyline happening. There is one video that has the parentheses of canceled in the title that seems like it was beginning some narrative or some kind of analog horror setting. But other than that, it's just shorts that accent the series with these terrifying visuals. If Squimpus's videos added the narrative flair to the mainline series that I wanted to see, then Meme Bear's Then Meme Bear's videos add the more visceral or direct visual horror to it. Because yeah, it's never seen in the series, mostly because the series kind of got weirdly marketed to kids down the line for some reason. But the concept of decomposing bodies in an animatronic is gross and disturbing. And Meme Bear's visuals are gross and disturbing, just like they should be. And if you ever want to freak out your friends at 2 in the morning with loud noises and creepy faces, then Meme Bear's content is the way to go. Another creator I want to mention is someone by the name of Battington. Whenever I began to research this video, there were a few videos that I had previously seen that gave me the idea to do this one. And a lot of those were these short clips of Freddy stalking a child in the back of the pizza restaurant, or these incredibly detailed remakes of the Squimpus tapes. And through the research, I couldn't find the clips I was trying to think of. And then I come across Battington, and pretty much everyone that I thought was creepy and gave me the idea to make this video comes from that channel. As with the others, I will link Battington's channel in the description, and I really think it is a fantastic take on the series, and quite possibly the best animated and stylized out of all of them. So check them out, link in the description, they definitely deserve it. And I just touched on a few. There are a ton more fantastic creators in the realm. We have Jay Jims, 12 Man OP, Dark Lord K, and Reach Animations, just to name a few. Like I mentioned, all of those channels that I covered will be in the description, as well as a playlist to get into more of this content, because there are a lot of fantastic animators and storytellers in this corner of YouTube, and I want to bring it more attention. I've always thought that the Five Nights at Freddy's series is an interesting concept and a great starting point to tell a good story. And I feel that, in a lot of ways, the main video games got more obsessed with hiding story elements rather than actually telling that story they were trying to hide. And one of the reasons I love the VHS tape so much is because it takes those concepts, and like I mentioned with Squimpus, puts them on the front row and then tells a story with it. And I think that's fantastic. And hopefully if you stuck around this long into the video, you think it's fantastic as well. And I think that's really cool, and I just want to say, thank you for watching. It's a little odd for me to cover like an analog, ARG, whatever horror that is connected to another piece of media, and I couldn't think of a better way to do it, because originally this was going to be at the end of the giant Five Nights at Freddy's timeline, but I figured that'd be too long and wasn't doing justice to these creators, so I decided to just, you know, leave it as is. But, like, it's odd, right? Like, the way I would go about this, and I wanted to do it this way because I don't want to just start talking on a channel that has never mentioned Five Nights at Freddy's about, like, oh, the purple guy and William Afton and all that. And a bunch of people wanted to see me cover FNAF anyway. So I did that, and now I can do this. And I hope it worked out well. I hope there's like one guy out there who has not, I mean, obviously you probably heard of Five Nights at Freddy's, but doesn't know anything about the stories, who was able to watch that video and this one, and it made sense. Or at least it made sense enough for you to follow what was going on. Because like I said, I think the original series had a lot of potential, and then it kind of dropped the ball in a few regards. And one of the reasons I love private creators doing stuff with it is because they pick up that ball and keep going with it. And that's why I love a lot of the people I talked about today. A lot of the people I talked about also do work in the Walton Files corner of, like, private independent animate, which I guess the Walton Files itself is its own private independent animation, but that's besides the point. And I will, everyone talks about it, and yeah, the Walton Files is really cool. I will cover it eventually. The reason I haven't covered it now is because NexPo's video already mentioned everything that I would want to say on the topic, so there's not really a reason for me to until new episodes come out. So once another episode or two come out, then I'll probably cover it. I have a lot of catching up on ARGs to do at the moment anyway. I need to make another Monument Mythos video. Well, not the Mandela Catalog one yet. When season 2 ends, I need to do it. I need to make a Salad Fingers video because David Firth challenged me to on Twitter, and what am I going to do? Say no to that? And I feel like there was another one. Oh, Gemini. I probably won't do Gemini until some more stuff's out because, again, NexPo did a pretty fantastic job at the moment. But yeah, it's going to be ARG season for the boys for a while. Yeah, I think that should do it for now. Anyway, I'm tired. I have to edit so much. Thank you to the top tier patrons that you can see, or the top tier X patrons that you can see here. You guys are fantastic. The Patreon's gone, but thank you for allowing me to get to this point. Thank you to all my patrons who allowed me to get to this point. Thank you to all my subscribers. We're above one. I haven't checked the sub count in a while because it's overwhelming, and I don't deserve it, but thank you all so much for it. I know it's over 1.55 million, which isn't a real number, but thank you all so much for that. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much to Caitlin for editing this video. I appreciate that whenever I'm doing a bunch of projects, I can text you randomly and just drop something in your lap, and then you do a fantastic job, and I'm excited to see how this turns out, so thank you for that. I believe that should do it for now. Without further ado, thank you for watching. I hope that you enjoyed, and I will see you in the next one. Bye.